Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy summer, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck is wrapping up a meeting, so he'll be joining me here momentarily as soon as he gets it wrapped up. But the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Woo! What a busy day today. Trump trial, we'll get to the latest on that. Also, we'll play the Robert De Niro video too. You have to wait and see that. Scottie Scheffler, charges dropped. But in the whole process, there's some lessons to be learned about why you never, ever talk to the cops. And then another bizarre thing, a mystery attack ad on CD3 grassroots candidate Ron Hanks. We'll take a look at that. I have some theories, as does Chuck, as to where that's coming from. But first, let's get you up to speed on the latest developments in the Trump trial. And then we can get your comments and your thoughts and our analysis going forward. You know, I often laugh. I'm not a lawyer. Chuck is a lawyer. I'm not, but I probably have been in more courtrooms and covered more hearings than most lawyers. So I used to joke, it's like I kind of played one on TV. I was like the cops and crime reporter in TV for years. But the latest going on, the judge has dismissed the jury for the day. Again, there were a couple of developments that came up pretty quickly, really. The judge read the jury instructions to the jurors, more on that in a second, and then they started deliberations. They'd been deliberating about 4 hours when they sent out a note and said they wanted to rehear some testimony. Now, that's not at all unusual in trials that I've covered, particularly long, lengthy trials with a lot of witnesses, and which, you know, is sort of what this case had. So that's not unusual. They wanted to rehear testimony from Michael Cohen when they were talking about, you know, he was Trump's fixer, and conversations he had with the National Enquirer guy about squashing certain stories, right? I agree with Trey Gowdy was talking about this, and he said, I don't think you can read anything into that. You can't tell, there's no indication why they wanted to hear that. It could simply be the National Enquirer guy was one of the first witnesses, if not the first witness, right? So maybe they're like, now what did he say? I don't remember what he said. So they just wanted to look into that. It could be all 12 of the jurors wanted to hear it. It could be one juror just kind of sort of wanted to hear it. It could be a nothing burger. It could be crucial. You just can't tell. There's just no way you can read into that, okay? But then, and while they were, the tricky thing about that is it's going to take about a half an hour to read the transcripts, right? And then they have to, they were in the process, I guess, of sort of putting that all together, right? And while they were getting that done, the jurors sent out a second note. And this one, I think, is a little bit more interesting. In the second note, the jurors indicated that they wanted to rehear the judge's jury instructions. Now, something really weird about this is this judge, just when you think he can't be more corrupt, he gets more corrupt. It's like that the jury page, it's lengthy, like I think 30 pages long, something like that. Again, that's not unusual. There are a bunch of counts here, right? So there are a lot of things to consider, but almost, and I would say always in my experience, not even almost always, the jurors get a printed copy of the judge's instructions. In fact, I've covered trials where they kind of flip through the pages and they read right along with them. In this case, the judge refused to give the jurors, well, not refused, he decided he was not going to give the jurors a written copy of the instructions, which I don't know, why would you not do that, right? Why would you not want actually, silly me, of course we know why he didn't want to do that, right? You do that, you give the jurors instructions so everything is clear. And the jury instructions, when you're, you know, the prosecutors have to prove a crime. And every crime has legal definitions. And there are, these are the elements of the crime, right? And in the jury instructions, that includes the elements of the crime. And it includes things like, what's the definition of reasonable doubt? Or it'll include, you know, intention or after deliberation. It'll say, you know, the elements of, you know, committing whatever, falsifying documents, these are the elements, boom, boom, boom. And the jurors, that's, I mean, it's sort of like their roadmap. And it's helpful for deliberations. Now, sometimes jurors, you know, don't need it. Other times they do need it. But it is really odd, I think, that the judge decided he wasn't going to give them the jury instructions. I think you can read into that because the only jury instruction they need from the judge is convict Trump, right? The judge is like, if you guys haven't got by now that you're supposed to convict Trump, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So that's your mission. Go in there and convict Trump. So we don't need to give you all of these jury instructions. That's what I think is going on. But interestingly, the second note that the jurors sent out, well, they were trying to figure out what to do about the first note to rehear the evidence, asked to rehear the judge's jury instructions. Okay. And now the judge said, you know, that's just send you home for tonight. You can tell me in the morning whether you want to hear all of them or part of them. But I think that is very interesting. And I think you can read a little bit into that. Now, who knows where they are in the deliberations, right? But I think that would be a good sign for the Trump team, because obviously the jurors are paying. I mean, theoretically, what the jurors are supposed to go in there and do is just say Trump's guilty. We hate Trump, so we'll convict him, right? And if you're going to do that, on one hand, you don't really need to rehear anybody's testimony, do you? And if you're just supposed to say Trump is rotten, orange man bad, convict him, convict him, then you don't need to hear the judge's instructions, right? So clearly they have some kind of question. Now, we don't know what they wanted to see or hear. But here, just, so I was thinking this, but this just came in on Twitter/X. This is just in. NBC reports that Trump's defense team is newly animated and have cracked a smile while the district attorney's team looks tense and apprehensive in New York. The moment came as the jury submitted a second note to the judge asking him to give the instructions again. The district attorney's team looks tense and apprehensive. Todd Blanche on Trump's defense team just cracked a tight smile. Trump, Blanche, and Emil Bolv, another one of the attorneys, are whispering among themselves and look newly animated, NBC reported. And then the judge dismissed him. So they read that too, right? It's clearly the jury, at least not on the first day, just is like, hey, look, we don't need any stinking deliberations. We think that Trump is guilty. So they go back tomorrow. They have the option of deliberating until 6 o'clock on tomorrow night, which would be 4 o'clock our time. So we'll see what happens. But that's sort of the latest, just to catch up what's going on there. And again, if I were a reporter covering this, I would agree with the NBC report. And again, you can tell too by watching the lawyers, right? If the Trump team is smiling, then their interpretation is that's good that the jurors want the instructions. Now, things can certainly turn around, but there's that. The other thing that happened in court, among other things, this judge has just been outrageous. As I was, the whole thing still, Bragg has still not actually ever really explained what is the sort of original crime that Trump committed. Remember, he's accused of falsifying documents. So that's what this is all about. The trouble is the statute of limitations ran out on that. The trouble is the feds didn't want to prosecute him on that. So Alvin Bragg had to find a way to and run around to say, well, you know, we can still charge him on the falsifying documents. And this is, as people are politely calling it, a new legal theory. In other words, he just made this up. It's a kangaroo court. He said, well, Trump committed another crime, right? And then he falsified the documents to cover up that other crime. Problem is, he's never really articulated coherently what that other crime was that Trump falsified allegedly documents to cover up. What the judge did today is just horrific. So Bragg has thrown out a few ideas that the jurors could hang their hat on. But what Bragg said is the jurors do not have to be unanimous in their verdict on those things, right? So they don't have to be, so one juror could say, well, I think he did this was the original crime. Another juror could say, well, I think he did this, right? They don't have to be unanimous on that. They can all pick and choose a different crime. One juror can say, well, I think this was the underlying crime. And the other juror could say, I don't think that was the underlying crime at all. I think this other thing was. And Merchant said, that's okay. I mean, that's unheard of, right? From what I understand, the Supreme Court has previously ruled on all of this in other cases, saying, yep, Chuck is here, saying that you do. The underlying crime or the predicate crime, the jurors have to be unanimous in that. They can't just kind of wing it there. But of course, it's tricky because, there was Scrooge over here, it's tricky because, again, Bragg just made that up. The whole thing is just made up. So that's a lot of legal analysis. We're talking about the fact that Merchant said you don't have to be unanimous. You're a lawyer. Have you ever heard that, you know, oh, unanimous, shmanimous?
No, not in a criminal trial. And you don't really have to be that sure what the future crime is.
Right.
In fact, you don't have to really know what future crime. You don't have to know the past crime. You have to think that one of them was a past crime, but as long as
you think Trump is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you think, and this is Leo, I love the idea that if my accountant mislabeled an expense that had no tax consequences 7 years ago, now I'm up for 34 felonies. Well, yeah, exactly, right? And Chuck, I don't know, he just came in, I don't know if you knew, the judge, a couple of notes went out, they were dismissed for the day. And the Trump team seemed happy about this. They wanted to rehear the judge's instructions. So let me ask you, you were a lawyer. Have you ever had the judge not give the jurors a copy of the jury instructions?
And certainly never, you'd never...
Particularly in a complicated case like this, right?
He said he'll read them back to him. It's the most bizarre proceeding ever held.
Right, right. But if you were an attorney, I was explaining, you know, Trey Gowdy was saying that he said you can't read in asking to rehear some of the original testimony or early testimony. He goes, too hard to tell what's going on with that.
No, you can guess. I mean,
what's your guess on it?
Well, I don't really know what it was. But it seemed like the Trump people were very happy and Biden people were depressed by it, whether that's a correct reading or they...
Well, then they wanted to rehear the judge's instructions. That, I think, if you're the Trump team, that is encouraging, wouldn't you say?
I don't know. It depends on, but I think they're the only ones that really know what those testimony is. Nobody else has memorized it. Or knows exactly what it is, and who knows where they're, maybe somebody just made a good joke and they're all laughing or something, but it seems like they're pretty happy with the way those questions are coming out. In fact, you know, more happy than you'd expect.
As I was saying before you came, I think the reason they're happy with both of those situations is the way that Bragg envisioned this and that Merchant envisioned this was they would just go in and they would say, everybody raise your hand if you hate Trump. And everybody would raise their hand and they say, so we all agree he's guilty. And they'd say, yes, he's guilty, right? Yeah. It's clear that they are at the very least deliberating.
Yeah,
right.
Which is
pretending to deliberate. Like the judge is like, look, these instructions are meaningless, guys. Why? Yeah. We don't need to rehear them. I mean, I deliberately made them meaningless. That's why I didn't even give you a copy so I can go in and change them. And I think so clearly they are deliberating. And that's got to be somewhat discouraging if you're Bragg, right? Because but this case is made of sand. It's not, there's nothing here. It's smoke and mirrors. If you go, it goes away, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing that the Court of Appeals hasn't intervened. I guess it's, hasn't intervened. It's some time to bring Mershon back, but they haven't. You know,
doesn't someone have to ask?
Yeah, they've made appeals to the court and they've all shot them all down.
On the other hand, though, I was going to say Trump is doing well through all of this, which brings us to the second bizarre thing. I don't know if you guys saw. So Trump, as you know, has been coming out and his people have been coming out and they've been having very successful press conferences every day, right?
Right.
So the Biden team, this is the Biden campaign team. I don't know if they were doing mushrooms or something like that, but they decided, well, we'll just go out there too and have our own news conference, right? Now, rather than, I don't know what they thought they were going to do, so they drag out Robert De Niro, who like goes on this whack job. I mean, he didn't even read his lines very well, right? He's clearly reading a speech. The guy's an actor, for Pete's sakes. Number one, let's just say you're the Biden campaign and you're like, who do we want to go out there to be our spokesperson?
Who's the guy that just gives total credibility right away? I mean,
right.
Charlton Heston kind of, this guy, you believe automatically.
Right, right. And so, and Robert De Niro has gone unhinged on all kinds of things anyway, right? So that was stupid in the first place. The other thing is it completely then politicized it. I mean, they've been trying to say, oh, we have nothing to do with this. This is not political. This is New York law. Well, then, like, why are you there? And they said, well, we're here because the reporters say, why are you here? And they're like, well, we're here because you're here, which is nonsense. If they were to say, we're going to have a press conference, the reporters would all go over to where they were having their press conference, right? So somebody, like I said, they were doing mushrooms or ketamine or something that made them decide, we're going to have our news conference, and then we're going to have Robert De Niro go out there. And then Robert De Niro goes on this unhinged, poorly scripted rant about if Trump becomes president, he's dictator, he will never leave, never, 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 he'll right?
Get rid of New York. And
right, he'll destroy New York. It was bizarre. And then, though, because they're being constantly heckled by the Trump supporters, which has got to be discouraging for them. They're in New York, right? And it's like you'd think they could get a Biden supporter, but nope, they couldn't. And so then in the end, Robert De Niro gets into the shouting match and ends up saying F you to one of the to one of the hecklers. And they have to, like, hustle Robert De Niro out. I mean, that's a bad news conference. If we could please play Thomas the De Niro soundbite.
We're trying to be gentlemen in this world, the Democrats. You are gangsters.
Excuse me.
You are gangsters.
You're washed up.
Fuck you.
You're softy. You're a nobody.
And that was a calm part, right? That was the calm part. It's like, what on earth? If you're the Biden campaign guy, you got to be going, oh, this is not going well. I mean, all these people are screaming, they're honking, and then De Niro melts down. I mean, this is a presidential campaign news conference. This wasn't Robert De Niro going out on his own and just saying, I'm going to show support for Biden. It's a news conference, and he's screaming F you at the crowd, and they have to hustle him on out of there.
I guess, and it's just a guess based on nothing, but that Biden had been watching this, and he gets all upset. Why don't we have somebody out there? Get somebody out there. And somebody goes, who are we going to get out there? Bob De Niro is the only person I know would do it.
Right, somebody was in town. I mean, it was just so ridiculous, and they've been panned ever since. So, and what they did there too is by doing that, I mean, he's calling Trump supporters gangsters and criminals, and he's saying F you. You never say F you at the end of your news conference. And then the security people are hustling him away. I mean, just bizarre. And then, of course, it plays right into the Trump people's hand because they could say, see, we told you it's political, right? The Biden campaign shows up outside the courthouse where he's trying to put his political opponent behind bars. If we could, Thomas, please play the Trump spokesperson soundbite.
What you just heard from is a desperate and failing and pathetic campaign who knows that they are losing. Joe Biden's sending his campaign outside of this criminal courthouse. It is a full-blown concession that this trial is a witch hunt that comes from the top, comes from Joe Biden, and he is using a far-left district attorney in this city, Alvin Bragg. This case would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America. Legal scholars on both sides of the aisle, even liberal legal scholars, agree there is no crime, there is no case, but Joe Biden knew he could use Alvin Bragg, who is sitting in that courthouse today, wasting away the tax dollars of the hardworking people of this city, to go after Joe Biden's political opposition. And the man overseeing this case is a corrupt and highly partisan and crooked judge.
I mean, that was pretty coherent compared to Robert De Niro, yeah, right? Okay, so, and here's from Leo. Chuck, if you serve the jury crappy food, do they find a decision quicker and for the defense? I don't know. They usually get lunch. I've covered, I don't know how they're handling this case. Normally, the cases I've covered, the jurors typically can go out on their own for lunch, right?
Well, for my trial.
But in deliberations, they don't. Once they get into deliberations.
Trial, they waited because I wrongly been cited for DUI, so they went back to deliberate, and it was clear. They waited till they got before they even got in there, said, he's not guilty. They said, oh, God, no. But we get lunch, no way. And so they all got lunch, and they told the judge, we're ready to give our verdict.
Yeah. So, although typically, yeah, they cater it in, I'm not sure. And then this from Sandra, methinks De Niro has much to hide and owes somebody something. Yeah, it's just that whole thing, that was just a very weird thing outside the courtroom. And so, of course, then they didn't do it again today.
Well, if you're saying, how did a press conference go? If your main spokesman was saying F you to people in the audience. Not good.
That's no, he's
that's
ended up
not
screaming
a good
F
sign.
You and you gotta hustle him out of there. That's not
that's a sign that it didn't go well.
Even MSNBC was like, yeah, well, let's talk about some other stuff.
Oh, he's impassioned.
He's impassioned. It's like, great. But it was just such a stupid idea to begin with. It's like, hold the news conference up. Because all he did was
that's,
talk
that's
about.
Joe came up with the idea and all of them were forced. To
they
of,
were forced. Or Jill. I don't think Jill's coming up with any ideas. I think Jill said we got to do it. Well, okay. So that's that. Did you want to, I wanted to talk about, we've got the Ron Hanks thing that I want to get into, but some interesting sort of developments with the Scottie Scheffler thing. Should we stay legal and talk about this for a second?
Stay legal.
Okay. So
we must stay legal here at the Chuck and Julie Show.
That's right. So we
are going illegal.
Then there's no going illegal. Mark Poff was on and did a great job. Scottie Scheffler, the world number one golfer, arrested by this a-hole cop as he was pulling in, and then they took him to jail, blah, 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 right? And the cop writes this report, and this is my thinking, saying that Scottie Scheffler like assaulted him, second degree assault, because he dragged him and he was injured and he ignored the cop orders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And then Scottie says, look, it was just a misunderstanding. I thought I was doing what the other guy was waving at me to do.
Right.
I didn't even realize what this guy was doing. And all of a sudden he's running in and he hit him with a flashlight, right? And then video is released that seems to not show the cop being dragged at all. Right.
But the part that could have shown that, luckily the cop decided to violate
right
his obligations and turned it off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there was no body cam. But then there were some other footage that came out today. And this is what I wanted to play because they dismissed all the charges. And I think I know why. So some other audio tape came.
Case.
But there was no case. Some other audio came out and you listened to it, didn't you? The audio of Scottie Scheffler is.
I heard a little bit.
He's well, okay. So he's sitting in the car. He's been Mirandized. He's been arrested. And he's sitting in the car and the cop is talking to him. Right. And Scottie's talking. And as I was listening to this, I said to you this morning, I'm like, this is why you never talk to the police, which I'm going to play a soundbite from Scottie's lawyer saying, just that because it's clear what the cop is doing is he's because Scottie's like, well, I didn't know he was a cop. And the cop says, well, who did you think he was? And he said, a security guard. And the cop is like, well, what's difference would that make? I mean, it's like, it makes a lot of difference. Number one, it's, you know, and the cop is clearly trying to trick Scottie,
sure.
And which is his job at that point, right?
That's what their job is, to trick you.
To trick you. But they dismissed all of the charges today.
But only on a consensual, no lawsuits will be brought by anybody here.
Yes, Scottie can't sue the cop for detaining him and costing him probably tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous. But the videotape that did came out, like I said, this is why I think they dropped it, shows that the situation that the cop, I think putting it kindly would be greatly exaggerated what happened.
The cop?
And yeah, and I mean,
sure, men in blue.
Yeah, it's clear that the situation did not unfold the way the cop did. And what's interesting about that is if they had not had ESPN reporters there who saw it, right? If he had not been Scottie Scheffler, he'd be still screwed. They wouldn't have got the cases
you
at all. Yeah, if it was
you.
You
would be paying out a yin-yang to a criminal attorney saying, well, you're facing 5 to 10 years.
Right.
You're going, bye.
And this is, you know, to me, it's just outrageous what this police officer did, right? He said he dragged him. He didn't drag him, right? The cop never identified, according to Scottie. He was saying to the one officer, all I know is some guy is yelling at me. He reaches in and he hits me with a flashlight. And he said, I didn't want to get hit again. He said, I didn't know. He didn't say he was a police officer. I didn't know who he was. And he's like, I'm just freaking out. But he shouldn't have been talking to that cop because the cop is kind of twisting stuff around. And some of the reporters are kind of pressing Scottie's lawyer about that, saying, didn't he say this and he didn't say that? And the lawyer's like, no, he didn't. That's the cop putting words in his mouth. So if we could please play the Scottie Scheffler lawyer soundbite.
Steve, I have to ask you, though, the statements that Scottie made after the arrest don't seem to fully align with what you're saying right now. He admits that he got impatient and went too far.
No, here's what happened, is he is being interrogated after the most stressful situation of his life, right? And the officer is actually asking him leading questions and trying to get him to agree with them, okay? And that's why you don't talk to the police, because they are going to try to put words in your mouth.
But
and
this was
that's
after,
exactly what they did.
But that was after he read his Miranda rights. He didn't have
course,
to speak.
He didn't have to speak. But again, he asked to talk to the officer. He wanted to explain to him what happened. However, they are trying to get him to confess to something that he didn't do. And the video evidence shows he didn't do it.
Yeah, so there. So the video evidence, number one, shows the cop lied, right? Number two, that's exactly right. Never, ever, ever talk to the cops, because that's what they're trying to do. He's trying to, and it's clear in the interview or when you're listening to it, right? The cop is trying to get Scotty to say he was impatient, he rushed forward and all this stuff. And Scotty, because, you know, when you're like a good person who doesn't have a lot of interactions with cops, you think, well, I'll just explain, right? And
they'll understand.
And they'll understand, and then we'll get everything straightened out.
Just go away. I mean,
that's
how I do it.
Right, exactly. So that's our word of advice for the day. Never, ever, ever talk to the cops. Back from just a couple of comments. And the jury instructions were that the jurors can pick and choose what the guilty verdict would be based on, but they not a unanimous decision. Excuse me, from Jacob, it sounds like ranked choice voting. Exactly. And from Charlene, I didn't know a judge could change the law regarding the process of reaching a verdict. This judge is so corrupt, he can do whatever he wants. So,
you know, Fallen free.
Anyway, you were saying about the Scotty thing?
Well, the other part about it is, you know, this was somebody was knocked down and killed as part of a really accident over here. It didn't matter, but that shows you how quickly and how badly things can go awry on something that's a nothing burger.
Right.
It's a nothing burger. And this cop decides that he's going to, you know, make it into the world's greatest crime. And if he hadn't been Scotty Scheffler and hadn't had the thing, I mean, that would have, you know, he would have probably pled guilty to something, served 6 months or something. I mean, that just shows you how, I hate to say this, but you never want to be around the police.
Well,
you never want to call the police. Never is the wrong word, but calling the police for times in which you don't need the help, but just think, you know, it'd be helpful,
right,
is really a mistake. I can't emphasize how big a mistake that is.
Well, it is, and I know they disciplined the cop or they yelled at him for not turning his body camera on. And I'm wondering if there'll be any discipline, because it does seem to me clearly he lied, I guess would be the only word I could think of. He lied on the police report about what happened, right? He wasn't dragged. Okay. That's like, he just got, tragically for him, there was videotape that showed that what he described didn't even happen.
Yeah. I mean, he'll get a little note in his file. Didn't turn on camera.
And then Scotty Scheffler, being the world's nicest person, issued a statement. Issued a statement saying, he's basically saying, look, I don't hold any ill will toward this officer, Gills. I hope he doesn't hold any toward me. I really just want to move on and get back to golf. And
Officer Gills has to go around trying to get people unfairly indicted, so he's got to get back
to work. We don't want to do this. Maybe the cop lost a bet on Scheffler. That's why he was world number one, right? And, well, he still is, but it is alarming, like you said, what can happen. You know what I mean? Because if you were just like a regular person, not the world number one golfer who had an entire army of lawyers and agents and teams and PR people and, you know, everybody coming to your aid, if you were just, say, going to work and that happened, right? And all of a sudden you do the same thing Scotty Scheffler did, only now, you know, you've got the cop lying. There's no ESPN crew there to say what happened. So all you have is that police. Yeah, all you have is that police report, right? And you're absolutely right. Maybe after a bit, they would drop the assault on an officer. Probably not. But I mean, yeah, you would be.
Use that to get you to plead to do something with a jail term.
Right. Okay, I'm going to switch gears again.
Switch gears, but just remember, believe the men in blue.
Yeah, really. Want to talk about Ron Hanks, and you want to give your analysis of the whole Texas primary thing too. So this was interesting. So a new video and radio ads have cropped up against, they're kind of attack ads on Ron Hanks, but they're not really attack ads. I mean, they are, but it's kind of weird. So I'm just going to play it, and then I'm going to say what I think it is and who it is. So if we could please play the Ron Hanks soundbite, Thomas.
Ron Hanks and Donald Trump say they're going to secure the southern border.
We need to start rounding up people.
Rounding up people?
We have to stop the immigration.
Stop the immigration?
Stop them at the end. They can't come in anymore.
Ron Hanks and Donald Trump are just too conservative.
We have to stop the immigration.
Too conservative for Colorado. Rocky Mountain Values Pact is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Now, that's kind of wacky. I'm sure if you're Ron Hanks, you're like, thank you. But so I did a little bit of research. Rocky Mountain Values, it's a very lefty organization, right? The guy who, Justin Lamorte, who was executive director, he was Michael Bennett's campaign manager, Democrat senator. He was John Hickenlooper's senior advisor, right? So so it's a very lefty thing. And what do you think is, I mean, it's...
Well, the whole groups of them gave ads in favor of Ron Hanks when he ran for U.S. Senator, because they, and they were similar to that, where they, you know, pretend they're one way, but obviously they're trying to appeal to conservative voters in that district, saying, well but I'm for stopping immigration.
I am. How can you be too conservative for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So keep in mind, so Ron Hanks is running against, I think the main opponent there is Jeff Hurd. And he's like, he's a rhino. Yeah, backed by Americans for Prosperity, who hate Trump, and they want to get people elected to Congress who will do everything they can to thwart the America First agenda, right? And so I think that, and then Adam Frisch is the Democrat who's running. And both of them were kind of running on a whole, we hate Lauren, anybody but, you know, we hate Lauren Boebert, who's now gone. My sense is, my guess is that this is the Democrats think that they would rather run against Ron Hanks than run against Jeff Hurd.
Right.
So they're trying to get Republicans in the primary, where ballots actually, by the way, mail out next week, to vote for Ron Hanks, right? Now, that hasn't always worked very well for them in the past.
It did. I mean, you know, Ron ran a very close campaign against, who was he running?
For Senate.
In the primary.
I forget. That was an election ago. But keep going. Don't go down that rabbit hole. You'll get lost.
You know, the ads really helped him. So, you know, it wasn't enough, but the ads really helped him. I think these ads will help him.
But I think these ads will help him. But so you know, to all your people who say, oh, there's no election interference. Well, this Rocky Mountain Values is a very lefty organization, right? And it's got, and obviously, you know, Bennett's former campaign manager, Hickenlooper, you know, I mean, that's the very left. But I think it's interesting, again, that the Democrats clearly meddle in our elections.
No.
Right? It's like, so anybody who says they don't, it's like, that's what this is for. And I don't know that, will people be fooled by it? To me, you look at this and you're like, okay, clearly, vote for Ron Hanks, but yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, anyone who doesn't see, clearly you're being manipulated, you know?
Good. I mean, you know, most people are just kind of hanging around. They're not paying attention. It comes on the TV set and Ron Hanks is against illegal immigration. Oh, okay. You know, you're not going, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, because they weren't. It was bizarre because, I mean, I'm sure they could have twisted stuff to make him seem like this complete racist, xenophobic guy. But instead, they're just like, secure the border.
Yeah, secure the border.
That's too conservative for Colorado.
Stop illegal immigration.
Yeah, that's too conservative for Colorado. And they're hooking into Donald Trump, which I think Ron Hanks would love to get an endorsement from Donald Trump.
That's the whole point of the thing, to hook Ron with
and then Charlene, are you sure it's the Dems pulling this stunt?
Yeah.
What I am sure of, Charlene, is at the end they say this ad paid for by Rocky Mountain Values, right? So I looked up Rocky Mountain Values, and you can do that too. It is a very left organization, and the guy, as I said, who is the head of it, is the former campaign manager for Michael Bennett and a senior advisor to John Hickenlooper. So he's not running. He's not running Jeff Hurd's campaign, right? So it's clearly a Democrat group is paying for and putting those ads out
because they think it will help on it.
Yeah, my guess is, no, you know, so the question then is, why would they do that? Again, our guess is they want to help Ron Hanks
right.
because they think their candidate, Adam Frisch, could more easily beat Ron Hanks than he could Jeff Hurd. Yeah. And why is that? Because Americans for Prosperity is going right. to prop up Jeff Hurd, right? right? And pour all kinds of money in. Ron Hanks doesn't have near that support. Because here's where, once again, the rhinos who go, unity, 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 right? We're all supposed to unify behind Jeff Hurd. Do you think if Ron Hanks wins the primary, that the rhinos and their money will be like, well, we must help match, you know, we need to, Adam Frisch, you know, he's, it's a tough battle. We need to help financially support Ron Hanks. Will that happen? So. Oh, yeah. Phil Anschutz,
the Koch brother,
yeah.
will all be helping as much as they possibly can.
They'll tell Jeff Hurd, Jeff will say, here's what I have left, Ron.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to unify behind you. And I'm going to call on all of my supporters to get behind you. It's like, no, they're not going to do that. The rhinos, you know, they'll yell at us if we don't do it. But hopefully nobody believes
well,
it anymore.
Well, what they'll do is, which is the best part about it, they don't have the votes normally. So all they do is they just don't contribute money. But that's not a statement. You know, I mean, all of a sudden people go, you know, oh, sure, we back Ron Hanks. No, no money. And that's the way, you know, the Patriots have to, no, I oppose Jeff Hurd, you know, because you don't have any money you could otherwise throw.
Well, I think in rhinos go even further. I mean, they would, I guarantee you, Dick Wadhams will come out and say, I'm not going to vote for Ron Hanks, right? They don't even not, you know, again, the cry for unity, you know, they won't be. So the Democrats know, okay, if we take out Jeff Hurd, we take off, you know, an entire wing of the Republican Party,
yeah.
right? Because they won't support Ron Hanks. They would rather the rhinos and the uniparty establishment people, the Americans for Prosperity-backed candidates would rather see Adam Frisch take that seat,
yeah.
right, than they would see a grassroots America First candidate do
yes.
it, right? And that's the, you know, that's the bottom line there. And so it could very well, hopefully it won't work, but it very well could. So hopefully Ron Hanks wins the primary.
And then wins the general,
yeah. From Charlene, why would the Dems think any Dem is going to win that district? Well, because
Adam Frisch lost it by that much last time.
Right.
Just that much.
Adam Frisch, you know.
He's a favorite.
Right, exactly. So it was Scott, what's his name? McGinnis had been there forever doing nothing. It was Lauren Boebert surprisingly overtook him, but the Democrat hatred for Lauren Boebert is so.
Scott McGinnis.
Okay, you're right. But whoever, but you're right. He was before. But at any rate.
Scott Tipton.
At any rate, yeah, see who did what? Is he still alive? But so Adam Frisch did not lose the last time by very much at all. The Democrats had their get out the vote machine. They did all kinds of stuff. So
he's a favorite for this one.
Adam Frisch is?
Oh, sure.
Well, I think it's going to be tight. Yeah, another one. Did you see there? The Republicans are pouring a ton of money, the congressional campaign people, into CD8. And there again, they're supporting Gabe Evans. I bet you if Janik Joshi, the grassroots candidate, wins, that money will not be there.
I'll give him some, but not much.
Not much, you don't think? Mm-hmm. Because that's like a toss-up one. Okay, well, so that's that. That's Ron Hanks. We'll keep you posted on what more we find out. Hopefully, though, if you're Ron Hanks, you're like, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And now Texas. Chuck has been obsessing over the Texas elections, which were yesterday. Some good news and some not so good news, is that?
Well, and it's exact same story that here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So as a practical matter, the Republicans, you know, control Texas. You know, 5-9 points it's not 25 or something. But they never get anything done, or very seldom get anything done, because of this wonderful trick that the rhinos pull. The rhinos will take one of their guys, and he'll make a deal with Democrats, all vote for him, and he'll bring in over, I don't know, 8 or 9 rhinos, whoever it takes, and they will overcome all the conservative Republicans. And the speaker will be a rhino.
You're talking about the Texas legislature.
Legislature for the Speaker of the House. And so nothing can get through. I mean, they kind of ham and haw. Sometimes they water it down. Sometimes they get rid of all of it. They have to let some through. But it's just so enraging. And so finally, Dade Phelan overreached himself when he tried to impeach the Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, got shammed through the House. Where almost all Republicans voted for the impeachment. And then when they had the trial, and I watched the trial, it was a disgrace. They had nothing on them. It could have been
like the Trump trial.
It could have been, and it was just awful. It was just awful. So this time, they all the Abbott's people attacked the people who didn't vote for vouchers. The Paxton people went after all the people who voted for his impeachment. And sometimes they crossed and, you know, they'd have different ones.
So it was very much a civil war going on.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And so it looked like Dade Phelan, the awful, hated, and he was booed at the convention, and he wasn't there, but they kept on booing him. And so it looked bad for him. He only got 47.5. He was just short of getting the 50%. The Covey, the grassroots guy, Covey got 47.3. The incumbent got only 43. And the third person automatically supported everything that Covey could do. So it looked like he was done, right? No. They went out and got an incredible number of Democratic votes. 25,000 people voted in that election. For all the other elections, it was 3 to 15,000.
Oh, wow.
So he was saved by 333 votes. The good part about it is that for a lot of the other races, which it was the moderates and the business interests against the grassroots won 85% of those races. So the question is, with a new legislature, with enough new people replacing a lot of the rhinos, yep. Can they prevent the same trick they've used for 12 years? And most people go, oh, no, they're not.
They'll be corrupted. No. Just like Mike Johnson, he's going to going to secure the border. He's going to impeach Biden. It's like you don't even hear that anymore, right?
No. It's just so, you know, you can be encouraged about that we almost got there.
So the grassroots are making. And here from Charlene, rhinos wouldn't be above using Dem PACs to get Jeff Hurd in. Dems are just as happy with controlled opposition, Jeff Hurd, as they would be with Adam Frisch. That's a good point. They are just as happy with Mike Johnson as any of their Dems. Keeps the illusion alive that there are two parties opposing each other. That is also true, Charlene. Just the fact that it's a liberal organization that's putting the ads out doesn't mean that's a good point that Jeff Hurd is, you know, not happy, you know, about it as well. Because you're right. That's the trouble is if you're a Democrat and a rhino establishment person, Adam Frisch, Jeff Hurd, you don't care. What you really just don't want is Ron Hanks. So maybe, you know, I don't know. They're trying. It's just weird. And the dirty, a perfect example of two wings of one bird. Yeah. You know, but that's going to start heating up now because the ballots go out next week. Right. And I think the election is actually June 25th. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot of that happening. Right. I think the Democrats, it'd be interesting. There was in CD4, which is where Lauren Boebert is running, the old Ken Buck seat. The Democrats and Colorado Politics and the Denver Gazette reported this. So they said a new poll shows this Democrat guy, Mike McCorkle or whatever
That's
his
great.
Name is.
He's stomping him.
Stomping or beating Lauren Boebert
He's
by double digits.
You better vote for somebody else.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like, and so I looked.
You better vote for us.
They sampled.
Deborah.
They sampled 400 people. So they called 12 people at a Democrat barbecue overwhelmingly supported Ike McCorkle. Well, and you're right. That's another sleazy trick too, right? Somebody's releasing that information because they don't want to run against Lauren Boebert. They're trying to convince the Republicans, you know, vote for Deborah Ford because again, the Rhino establishment people, they'd be just as happy.
Well, who did the Gazette endorse?
Deborah Flora?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So they'd be just as happy with her as they would be with McCorkle or whatever his name is. Yeah. Right. So they gin up this phony poll and they put it out there and they're like, oh, my God, no, we better not have people running against Lauren Boebert. So, yeah. So they interviewed. They said 400 people were sampled. A third of them were undecided.
Oh, yeah.
And the other third were Democrats, or the other third were people who were sitting there filling it out. It was just their staff members, right? It's just so keep your eyes out for all of this stuff. As we go through with the show, we'll do our best to try to
Who it's coming from. Where incoming fire is coming from?
Right, exactly.
Because I'm not sure that's coming from Democrats. That's coming from the Anschutz media empire.
Oh, anyone else not seeing Chuck and Julie? I see us, Dr. Donaldson, maybe it just is your tech. From Charlene, Dems just as happy with the Deborah Flora, the uniparty candidate. Oh, and then Jacob, this is a good story too. Biden went to see his daughter-in-law, just like Clinton went to see Attorney General Lynch on the tarmac at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. That's no, right.
It's very similar to P. Diddy in that hallway.
Yeah.
With Cassie. So, where this old guy's kicking her and stomping her. You don't testify against my son.
So remember when Bill Clinton, the attorney general, is trying to decide, should they charge Hillary with a crime with destroying her phone and her records and et cetera, et cetera. And Bill Clinton just happened to be in the same tarmac and went, what, my goodness, that's Loretta Lynch. And we just talked about our grandkids, right? So he has to say anything. So Joe Biden, Hunter Biden's trial starts next week. And on the gun gun charges, yes. Right? And one of the witnesses, so keep in mind, so Hunter Biden, crack addict, sex trafficker that he is, was also sleeping with his brother's wife.
As
if you're Biden, Hallie, when you're not taking showers with your dad.
it's a very fun group.
It is a fun
very
group.
Fun
little boundary issues in that Biden family.
Causes sometimes a little mental stress by the kids.
A lot of loose boundaries in that Biden family. But at any rate, so the sister-in-law that he was having the affair with is one of the witnesses who's going to testify that he lied because he was indeed a drug addict when he bought the gun and he marked on the thing that he wasn't a drug addict. And so Joe Biden, as you do, just stopped by to visit her the other day, right? And they just talked about her husband that she cheated on, or, you know, it's like they just happened to he just stopped by to talk about that.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of like, and then in the meantime, this is going to be more fun too. So Hunter Biden's love child mama, I don't say love child, but a fair child mama, he should have been nicer to her forever. Remember, they pretended that he said, I'm not the father, and he was.
He had no idea.
And the Biden, well, they did, they had all the maternity tests.
So I know, but he was denying it before that.
Oh, and then Joe Biden.
He had a one-night stand with a stripper. You wouldn't go, oh, it must be Mercury.
Well, I think they had more stuff.
No, one-night stand.
Well, Chuck, we will find out, because she's releasing a book. Right in time, in the middle of the Democrat convention, she's releasing a tell-all book. And she says, we will be shocked and people might even go to jail. It's kind of fun to see this happen as opposed to the Trump people, right?
Maybe it's just that I'm a misogynist, but do women look good these days, you know, with Stormy Daniels, I fucked 1,000 people, this stripper, I'll go out there and I'm courageous and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, it's a courageous and brave book. I'm just glad it's coming out, though. It should be fun. Poor Hunter Biden. So Joe Biden, I guess, is going to have to go have a talk with her, too, just to casually talk about it. I don't know what. It's funny. Well, so as we wrap up then with the trial, we know that I'm going to go on the limb. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for the jury to reach a verdict tomorrow, because they come back at 9:30. They have to have at least a half an hour of reading the testimony from the people that they requested, right? So that's going to take a while.
Read to them, I think?
Yeah, they have to read it to them. Normally,
you don't have to. I've seen that they want to see the transcript, but we don't give transcripts in New York.
They said they're going to read it. That's all I know.
Well, I know, because they don't let them. Yeah. It's New York. Well, they're illiterate. They got to do it, you know.
Well, they don't want to. And then the judge has to,
take any notes, those are no good.
Right. And so the judge has to read the instructions again, right? So by then, it's going to be lunchtime, right? So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It'll go through long.
In my experience, and this is true, this isn't just anecdotal reporter thing, a lot of times I think verdicts are reached on Fridays.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because the jurors are like, okay, we need to. Okay, let's see. The Colorado GOP is awesome. Charlene says it's Dems and Rhinos, aka Uniparty versus MAGA, in my opinion. Exactly. And then Jacob says, might not matter because the June 27th debate might decide whether Biden stays in the race. That could be, but the book would still be fun to read. Yeah, well, so much happening in the month of June, actually.
Well, you want Biden to stay in the race, right? You know, okay, you want to hang in there, Joe.
Keep it up.
Get him some more Adderall. Come on, boy.
Well, and I read, just kind of in closing, a funny thing. It was a joke tweet, but it's probably true. They said, if Trump is found guilty, No, no. If it's a hung jury, Trump will go. No, no, no. Wait, I'll start over again.
All right, this is a good setup. One more time.
This is why I'm not a stand-up comedian. If Trump is acquitted, his ratings will go up like 10% in the polls. If it's a hung jury, it'll go up like 50%. And if he is found guilty, it'll go up 100%.
All right. So
I think if you're the Trump team, you kind of know that, right? And if you're the Biden team.
I don't think the Trump team thinks that way.
If you're the Biden, if you're the Biden team, you're saying just no more news conferences, whoever's planning
news.
We
keep on doing that. We got to get some more. We got to bob in with another crew.
Maybe Stephen King. And Bette Midler and Cher.
Ken Burns would be good.
Yeah, all those people would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us today, guys.
Take care.